It doesn't matter how long we may have been stuck in a sense of our limitations. If we go into a darkened room and turn on a light, it doesn't matter if the room has been dark for a day, or a week, or 10,000 years. We turn on the light and it is illuminated. Once we control our capacity for love and forgiveness, the light has been turned on. And that quote comes from Sharon Salzberg. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Now, folks, ever since I began doing these radio shows, one of the main focuses of the program has been consciousness and people's need to face the fear within themselves and their need to apply their inner understandings to the outer world around them. And this needs to be done in order to maintain a state of balance. I've spoken a lot about a rise in consciousness that is happening, and this is incredibly apparent all around the planet, because people are becoming absolutely aware of the way the world is run. They are becoming aware of their connection to other people, and they are also becoming very much more aware of themselves and of the struggle that seems to go on perpetually within most people. And it's a very good thing that people are becoming aware of this. And I've also spoken a great deal about a shift in consciousness, and there have been many people that talk about a shift in consciousness that is expected to occur on this planet, expected to occur within the human psyche. But what I'm finding is a lot of people are simply sitting back and waiting for it to happen. It almost seems like a lot of people are just expecting someone, God, if you will, to flick a switch, and suddenly all of their higher senses are going to come online, almost as if they are just going to wake up one day and suddenly be enlightened. And folks, this is just not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless people choose to do the inner work themselves and apply it to the world around them. And look, don't get me wrong. A shift in consciousness is absolutely occurring. A rise in consciousness is occurring. And this is very, very clearly indicated simply by the mass awareness that I'm seeing around me with many, many people. There are so many people becoming aware of how things are run. And many people are beginning to unite on many fronts. And this is a good thing. But there are still many people who aren't. There are still many people who simply believe that they have to sit there in love and light and follow some of the New Age teachings, and the world's going to change and they're going to go to fifth dimension. And there are other religious people who simply believe they have to sit there and let the world turn to rack and ruin around them, and then miraculously a saviour is going to appear and whisk them all off to heaven, even though many of them have spent most of their lives failing to address any of the problems that they've seen around them. And there is so much disinformation out there, folks. There's so much disinformation, especially within the New Age movement. I mean, I'm even hearing people talk about the Galactic Federation of Light and ascension machines for people and all sorts of rubbish. Folks, consciousness doesn't do machines, and consciousness doesn't do hierarchy. It's simply not what it's all about. And a lot of these teachings are out there so that people simply wait to be saved. That's what it's all about. They believe that as soon as it gets too bad for them to handle, someone is going to save them. It might be just before they die, someone will come and save them. And so they will allow themselves to be abused and downtrodden, and they will allow the world to get worse and worse and worse in the belief that in the very last moment, someone else is going to take responsibility for the problems that they have allowed to happen, due to their failure to face the shadow within themselves that kept them disconnected from the people around them, and in turn has allowed the planet and all life upon it to be reduced to the state that we now see it in today. Because it isn't the devil, folks. It isn't Satan. It isn't even necessarily the Illuminati or those who rule the world that is perpetuating the problems we face. What is perpetuating it is us. It's our failure to act. It's our failure to put the governments back in the position that they are elected to be in, which is that of trustee. I've spoken to you so much about trust law and equity lately. And folks, trust law, I mean, it's not even understanding law. It's just knowing who and what you are and standing in that power, knowing that you are divine under God and you need not be ruled by anybody. As long as you act to serve the creation, as long as you live your life to do no harm to others and to do no harm to the earth, and as long as you can see everybody else's perspective as being just as valid as your own, then why do you need ruling? Why do you need controlling? Why do you need to be prevented from being all that you could be? And why do we need to allow our elected servants to rape the planet around us and destroy societies and destroy cultures and destroy all of the things that they destroy? All of the coal seam gas mining and fracking that's going on here, the government tells us it's being done because of the economic benefits for the country. And yet all I see around me is people struggling under more and more bills, more and more debt. So how on earth is it economically viable to the average people in this country to destroy the country around them? Because no one is getting any economic benefits. Perhaps the government is, those who work for the government are, but nobody else is, and those who work for the government are our elected servants. So things are incredibly out of balance, and as far as economic benefits even go, people need to understand that the economy is fake. It's just a bunch of digits on paper. Not even on paper anymore, just digits on a computer. That's all the economy is. It's completely fake. But the world is real. The planet is real. And we depend on the planet for our survival. So destroying the planet to balance digits on a screen really does not seem to be the act of a sane mind. So why are we doing this, folks? Why are we allowing our governments to do this? And that's the real problem, folks. It's that people are simply just allowing it to happen. People just believe they're going to be saved, or they believe they're going to ascend, and they are sitting in a state of inaction. And now we've got people telling them they don't even need to do any work in order to ascend. All they need to do is sit in love and light, and an alien will appear from the Galactic Federation and give them an ascension machine. It's just amazing. Most people desperately want the world to change, but they're not prepared to change it themselves. They fail to see their connection to this planet, and they fail to see that all of the problems that they are waiting to be saved from are being perpetuated solely by their failure to act, their failure to stand up and put the governments back in their correct position as the elected trustees of our societies. People just don't want to take the responsibility. They wish to be able to point the finger at somebody else and say, he's to blame, or they're to blame, the government's to blame, society itself is to blame. Most people just seem to be prepared to take any action possible that will prevent them from ever taking any responsibility for the situation they find themselves in or stepping into their own power. Unfortunately, many people seem to be incredibly afraid of ever becoming who and what they actually are, stepping into that power and taking responsibility for themselves. And you can't really blame people for being like this, because it's the way people are trained to be. And of course, many people live their lives in a state of fear. Many people who claim that they are not in a state of fear actually are. And this is again back to the New Age movement. I see so many flaws in the New Age movement, folks, because I live in a very New Age area, so I'm subject to a lot of these people all the time. And this is why I attempt to speak in their language so often, in the hope that they may get some of the message and look at things a little bit differently. Of course, by doing so, I get constantly attacked by people who pretend to be Christians, but who persist on attacking people who have any view that differs from their little box view of reality. So whatever religion we see, whether it be a Christian religion or another mainstream religion, or whether it's the New Age religion, what we mostly see are people that live their lives in a state of fear and who are waiting to be saved by something external to themselves. People who are very, very afraid of ever doing the inner work that would clear up that shadow within themselves, the shadow that prevents them from uniting with the people around them and thereby healing the world, because that's all we have to do to heal the world, folks, is to start seeing everybody else's view and everybody else's perspective as being as valid as our own, and live our lives in a state of service to the creation. Simply do no harm, folks. It's that simple. In fact, the answer to solving all of the problems in the world is so incredibly simple that people can't see it. And even when they do see it, many of them are very, very afraid of ever stepping outside of the box and taking responsibility for themselves and applying the knowledge that they have to the world around them. It's a very, very sad state indeed. It's a very sad state for human consciousness to be in. But it is, unfortunately, the state that we are currently in. You see, all things require practical application, folks. If you have done studies into whatever religion you've studied into, whether it's a mainstream religion or whether it's the New Age religion, you will see this, because what you find within all of these religions is a message that is to love the world around you and to love your fellow man, to treat all people equally under God, that no man is born with any more rights or any more power or with any less importance than anybody around them. All of mankind is created equal. Just having a simple comprehension of what that actually means will go an enormous way towards changing your life, changing the way you view yourself, and changing the way you view other people. And this simple comprehension is promoted by all faiths, it's taught by all faiths, and yet people claim to adhere to these faiths, and yet they fail to ever apply these teachings to their own lives. Many people of the Christian faith fail to apply the teachings of Christ to the world around them. They believe that if they simply go to church and believe that Jesus died for them, then they won't have to do anything. They can allow the world to turn to rack and ruin around them, and Jesus will descend from heaven and save them. And again, it's exactly the same thing with people of the New Age persuasion who believe that if they sit in love and light and ignore everything around them, they will ascend to another dimension, even though they've failed to ever look after the one that they're in now. And you see many other people who simply believe that the Galactic Federation is going to show up at the last minute and give them an ascension machine. So we see a parallel within all of these religions, whichever one it is, whether it's Christianity, whether it's New Age, whether it's an alien Galactic Federation religion, because all these things are religions, folks. They're all ways of copping out of your own responsibility and waiting to be saved by somebody else, let's face it. And yet all such an attitude can ever succeed in achieving is to allow the world to continue down the same path of degradation that it is currently on. All of them are designed to remove responsibility from people and to prevent people from ever acting on what they see around them. All of them, I would suggest, are presented to the world simply in order to perpetuate the meme that enslaves us and to keep people divided, keep people arguing over which doctrine is right, and prevent them from ever applying the teachings of any of these doctrines to the world around them. Because it is in applying all of these teachings to the world around them that the solution lies. I mean, look at Christ, folks. Was he judgmental of people? Sure, he overturned the tables of the money changers, but he would have happily forgiven them had they ceased their evil ways. He didn't have a problem with any members of the establishment. He would happily dine with people like that. He didn't mind speaking to prostitutes. He didn't have judgment of the people. He understood that the people were misguided, and that's what drove them to be disconnected from others. And he attempted to lead by example. We have a huge opportunity before us in the world at the moment. We have a huge opportunity to heal the planet. And all we need to do is to break down these perceived barriers of social and racial division and connect with people. Simply see other people's perspectives as being valid. See other people as being just as important to creation and to the overall collective consciousness as anybody else. And this is something that I've been attempting to share with people around here lately, because so many people that I see who claim to be enlightened, who claim to be connected, still have stuff with other people. They still invalidate other people's perspectives. And the question that I would have to someone who saw somebody else's perspective of reality as being invalid, my question to them is, why would you ever even consider your perspective of reality to be valid if your perspective serves to invalidate the perspective of others? Because if it does that, then how valid is your perspective? All people are created equal. All people have equal value in the world, and all people have equal importance in the world. We've just allowed things to go completely out of balance. And we've always been taught through our education and social systems that if we have a problem, we need to address the symptom of the problem. I mean, this is even how our medical and pharmaceutical industry works. It's quite happy to address the symptom of the problem, but it won't address the actual problem itself. And this is something that I've said on many, many radio shows, is that all of the problems that we face are simply symptoms of the one problem, which is the corruption of the system itself, and that that is allowed to perpetuate because of everything I've just outlined for you. Because of our failure to address this shadow within ourselves, our willingness to stay disconnected from those around us, and our failure to stand up as one and address the problems that we face, put the governments back in their position as trustees of society, because that's what they are. That's what we elect them to be. We don't elect government and give them power in order for them to create legislation which allows them to sell the country out to foreign corporations who are going to come here and mine it and frack it and steal every piece of resource we have under the pretense of it being good for a fictional economy, because the economy is fiction. It's just digits. It doesn't mean anything. And I think that it's imperative that people realize this and that people gain an understanding of what the economy actually is and what the planet actually is and what our connection to the planet and to each other actually is. None of us can survive without this planet, and digital credits don't mean a thing. So I guess that what I wonder in all of this is, what is it going to take for humanity to change? What is it going to take for people to look at the problem holistically and understand how simple the solution is? What's it going to take for people to act? Not act in violence, not act in revolution, but simply act in non-compliance out of love and respect for each other and for the earth that we live upon. I firmly believe that that is the answer. I truly believe that that is how to fix the planet. That is how to realign and rebalance the human psyche. Simply to respect each other. Stop collecting paper. Stop placing the value of life on the value of one's possessions. Stop seeing social status and the accumulation of paper as something that is going to improve your life. Why not simply treat others around you with respect? Then it won't matter how much paper you have. It won't matter what your social status is. Because the people in our society that haven't achieved high social status or a large amount of paper in their wallet or a large amount of digital credits in their bank account, these are just as wonderful and just as important as everybody else. So why not value these people? Why not allow these people to be all that they can be? And why not be all that you can be yourself, within yourself, rather than externalizing everything and perceiving the value of yourself to be based on how many possessions you have, how big your house is, and how many digital credits you may happen to have in the bank? Because it's not real. And it's this continual fixation on paper and accumulation of stuff that we don't need that has caused society to become what it is and has caused the planet to reach the state of degradation it's currently in. And folks, it doesn't mean anything. it doesn't mean that you are a better person because you have this stuff, because you can't keep any of it. And at the end of your life, it all goes back in the box and someone else plays the game. You don't own any of it, folks. You don't own even a small portion of this earth or anything on it. You are simply a temporary custodian. That's all you are. That's all anybody is. And what's important more than anything is what you do with the time that's allotted to you on this planet. What contribution you make to reality while you are here. How much you either improve or degradate reality by your presence in it. Because that is what you leave behind. That is your legacy. And all you bring into the world with you is your perspective of reality. And all you take from the world is the perspective that you've gained while you've been here. Everything else goes back in the box. I often wonder what it's going to take for humanity to realize this. In fact, I find it fascinating to see people's obsession with wealth and people's obsession with the accumulation of stuff that really doesn't mean anything. Of course, people probably perceive that it does mean something, but really it just seems to be so inconsequential. It seems to be such a distraction from people ever finding themselves. And the whole concept just fascinates me. It's something that I find utterly intriguing about the human psyche. It really does make me wonder. I mean, how on earth did we ever become this disconnected from reality? And I've probably said before that for such an intelligent species, when you really look at the history of man and you study the growth of our civilization, you think, well, if a species was going to create a civilization and advanced technology, then is this it? Is this what we came up with? Because this system does not serve the human race in any way, shape, or form. So how on earth did we come up with this? And in fact, I think a lot of people wonder this. I think it's a question that much of humanity does ponder. I think that's why many people have a fascination with history, and why many people, even within the truth movement, have a fascination with looking at the past and looking down the rabbit holes and studying the secret societies in order to find out who's to blame, rather than looking within themselves and seeing what the actual solution to the problem is. Because there's so many rabbit holes to go down, folks. I've spoken about this many, many times in the past, that you can look down any rabbit hole you want and you can ultimately blame anybody you like, but you're still not addressing the problem itself or attempting to find any type of solution to the problem. And of course, if we are going to free ourselves from the system that currently enslaves us, well, that's what we should be doing. We should be focusing on solutions rather than on the cause of the problem. Because ultimately the solution is not going to lie in finding the historical cause of the problem. The solution is in seeing the nature of the system itself and the very simple methods that may be employed by humanity in order to free ourselves from this system. And that's where I believe the attention needs to be focused, because that is where the solutions lie. And if we don't start focusing on solutions and we don't start applying them to this reality and standing in the power that we all have, then the future that we are allowing to be created is not going to be a very pretty one, folks. And again, this is what I'm hoping fracking is going to do. I'm really hoping that coal seam gas mining is going to unite the people of the planet. And it is doing a great deal of damage to the planet, folks. I mean, look at the earthquake recently in the United States. And of course, the earthquake was in the location of the Madrid Fault Line and in the same general location as the Marcellus Shale, which has been extensively fracked by gas companies in the last few years. And I would suggest that there is absolutely a correlation between the earthquake in the United States and between all of the fracking that's been carried out. In fact, I don't think there's actually been an earthquake in that area since 1897, I think the date was. So one may ask why one just suddenly appeared now. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I probably should leave it there for now. And we'll go and have a break, and I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Thank you for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, something that I've been addressing right since the beginning, something that I've been promoting, is global non-compliance to this system. And I receive a lot of messages and a lot of queries regarding non-compliance. Many people seem to think that non-compliance is simply cutting yourself off and going on the road and living at the expense of others, or not working so that you don't pay taxes, and whatever it is that people think. And look, folks, we've got a system in place where you get into trouble if you do certain things that are too much against society. And what you have to do is you have to know how to handle yourselves in those situations. And I still have to earn money. I still have to participate in the system because that's the system that I live in. But as far as statute law goes, and as far as allowing other people to suffer because the system makes it that way, and as far as agreeing with what politicians are doing or voting for them or anything like that, well, I simply don't participate in it at all. But again, you've got to be sensible, folks. I don't want to see people just going out and getting themselves in trouble or simply disconnecting themselves from the system and then going out and living at the expense of others. Because the only way true non-compliance will work globally, and remember I'm talking about global non-compliance here, is for a large percentage of the world to stand up and participate in it together. And this requires educating the masses. And folks, there's a massive self-education thing going on at the moment because the world is falling apart. Our society is completely breaking down. The water tables are being destroyed by fracking. The financial system is teetering on the verge of collapse. Everybody is seeing the system for what it is. And the most important thing that people that are awake can do is to have already established themselves, already have established gardens, and already have a backup plan so that you can be there for these people once the cold, hard truth hits them in the face. Because if you can be there for people, then there will be no need for revolution. There will be no need for society to completely decay. And what any social collapse can be used as is an opportunity to connect with people and to help people. Because if you help people when they are in a state of hardship and you connect with them when they are in a state of hardship, very, very strong friendships and bonds can grow out of such things and society can change. But you need to know that these changes are coming and you need to know where you are in your heart and to be in your heart and be ready to embrace and help those around you when you find them in a state of hardship. And I'm sure, folks, if you think about it, I mean, if you were to suddenly have your life fall apart around you, then how appreciative would you be if there was someone there for you? If someone was there to help you pick up the pieces and let you know that it really wasn't such a bad thing and that all you are seeing is the collapse of a system of slavery and that now that that system has collapsed, we can move on to much, much better things. And I'm sure you would want this if you found yourself in that position. And so you need to be able to apply that to others when you see them in a state of hardship. Remember, folks, you've got to be the change that you want to see in the world. And if the change you want is one of empathy and compassion, then you have to be that and you have to live that. And if you can be and live that state of empathy and compassion, this is how you even apply yourself to things such as equity and trust law. It's simply knowing who you are. If you're in a state of empathy and compassion, the whole legal system suddenly becomes a complete joke. It's like a Mickey Mouse cartoon. It doesn't make any sense at all, and it's completely fictional. I mean, it serves no purpose other than to enslave human consciousness. I mean, sure, we need some form of law so people do the right thing, but we don't need all of these statutes. Because what I'm talking about here, folks, is statute law. All of these ridiculous pieces of legislation that have been put in place by our elected servants in order to control and enslave us. So you see, there's the problem. Public servants creating legislation that enslaves their employers and opens the country up and the world up to multinational corporations who proceed to rape it and simply turn the population into a commodity. So everything's completely out of balance. Everything is completely upside down. We have we, the people of the planet, the ones who are the granters of power to our governments and the beneficiary of the trusteeship that these governments hold. And yet these governments that pretend to be our servants are actually being paid off and controlled by multinational corporations whose main objective is raping the world at the expense of the human population and all life upon it. And this happens because we, the shareholders, fail to ever administer our own trusts, of which the government are the trustees. And these trustees are misbehaving folks. They are all acting in breach of trust. And when you stand in empathy and compassion, and you stand in who and what you are as a human being, it becomes quite apparent. And so does the solution. Because the solution is to simply do that, to simply stand up and be a human being and take responsibility, stand in full liability for your own actions and administer your own trust. Because it's our failure to do that that is allowing this situation to be perpetuated. And all we can do is point our finger at the governments and say, it's you guys. Well, no, it's not those guys. It's us, because we fail to stand in who and what we are and take responsibility for the situation. The people that are doing all this, folks, they're just our employees. That's all they are. They're just a bunch of employees that are out of control. And if you start a business or start a trusteeship and you're the director of it and you just walk out the door and never go back, then the employees are going to run riot. They're going to take advantage of the situation. They're going to start stealing from the business. They're going to do everything that they can so that they benefit at the expense of everybody else. And that's exactly what our employees are doing, because the CEOs have left the building. It's just that we don't realize that the CEOs are us. We just fail to ever step into the role. And I think it's about time we did, folks. In fact, I think that if we don't do this and we don't step into our true roles as the administrators of the trust that we give the government, then things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. So that's why I've been attempting to bring you this understanding of trust law that I've been harping on with lately anyway. And it's why I do these shows. It's why I started doing these shows way back in the beginning. Because I think that all the problems that we face can be very, very easily addressed simply by people realizing who and what they are and realizing the connection they have to others. But don't wait to be saved, folks. Don't wait for something external to come and make things right for you. Don't wait to ascend to another dimension. Don't wait for an ascension machine from the Galactic Federation. Simply stand in your power and apply yourself to the world around you and apply yourself to the situations that we face. And of course, the best way to do this is to apply yourself to the shadow that exists within and connect with the people around you. I just keep harping on with the same thing, don't I, folks? Because ultimately it all comes down to doing the inner work, and it all comes down to connecting with the people around you. I look at the human species around me and I see such a wonderful diversity of consciousness. And I love and respect all of them. I truly do. And yet in amongst the people that I meet, most people I see still have stuff with other people. They still invalidate the perspective of other people. Many people seem to be defensive of themselves, and they have this certain perception of who and what they are, and they will not allow their vision of themselves to be swayed by any outside influence. And call it ego, I suppose. But I would see it more as false ego. And it is this false ego that very much prevents them from ever connecting with the people around them because they feel threatened by these people, very often due to the perception they have of themselves and due to their failure to see somebody else's perspective as being as valid as their own. And it's a very fascinating part of the human psyche that this trait exists in so many people within Western society. And I mean, don't get me wrong with this, folks. I'm not saying that if someone simply walks up and insults you, that you need to take that on and adopt their version of reality. Because if you really look at it, even their need to insult you means that they are in the same position. They are seeing you as a threat to whatever they perceive themselves to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't be insulting you. And yet many people do this. Many people seem to create little hierarchical social structures around them when they are in a group of people. It's almost like a microcosm of the macrocosm. We tend to perceive ourselves as being at a certain position in our local social hierarchy, and this is just in a group of friends. Often in groups of friends, of course, you'll find one leader with a strong personality, and you'll have other people who follow the leader. You'll have sometimes people vying for leadership. And then in certain situations or certain environments, the roles will change. But we usually have someone in a position of leadership or perceived authority and someone else in a position that's a little bit further down the chain. If you look deeply within and you really examine the social situations that you find yourselves in, you'll find that we very rarely interact with people on a completely even keel, where everything about each other is completely honoured and completely equal. And I think that it can be very beneficial to be aware of this when you are interacting with other people. And even within the truth movement and the spiritual movement, you'll find people that are kind of like rock stars. They very much separate themselves from others, and they lose their realness and lose true connection to source. Whereas if you can always remember that the person you are dealing with, no matter who they are in the social food chain, is exactly the same as you, except they see the world from a different perspective, then all of the barriers break down and you can suddenly treat these people exactly as yourself. And you can be completely honest with these people and completely loving at the same time. I honestly don't have a problem with anyone, folks, and I love all the people that I meet. And I think that it is so important that when you meet people, you treat them with respect and you treat them as your equal, because that's exactly what they are. And everybody that comes into your life for a reason. And with each meeting, you both have an opportunity to gain something valuable from each other. Now, I can appreciate that a lot of what I've said on the show today may simply sound like pacifist mumbo-jumbo, someone who's all lovey-dovey and has an unrealistic view of reality. But if you look within yourself, I believe you will find the truth in some of the things that I've shared with you today. And if you can simply step back and view the human race holistically and apply some of the understandings that I've shared with you today to the people around you, in your understanding of these people and in your understanding of the global situation as a whole, then you will see how easy it would actually be to change everything by simply applying some of these methods to our daily lives. Don't hate the people around you. Don't judge the people around you. See them as valid. See that everything they do is valid. See that there's no difference between any of us, only our perspective of reality. And that's how it has to be. And imagine if everybody saw the world your way. What would we be doing? Well, the whole world would be doing what you're doing. So, what are you doing? What are you doing? Would you have food on the table? Do you grow your own food? Would you have petrol in the car? Do you extract your own oil? Did you build your house? Have you taken care of yourself or by yourself right up to this point? Because if you haven't, and if everybody else saw the world from your perspective, then everybody in the world would have done exactly what you've done right throughout your life, and where would the world be? And that's just a small tip of the iceberg. But the point is, we need all of these different perspectives, even so far as creating a wholeness of consciousness. We need to have all perspectives in order to be able to do so. How would consciousness ever know what the right thing was if we never experienced the wrong thing? So perhaps it would help if people were to simply view life and to view the whole experience as one big learning curve. But I really do think it's about time we learnt, folks, and we learnt what the lessons are, and we learnt how to deal with the problem. And I think we've done this before, folks. I really do. I've often spoken to you before about my belief that time is cyclic and that we keep repeating the same things until we get them right. And this has also been confirmed to me by some of the elders from the original people that I've spoken to, that this is the end of a cycle and that we are being presented with an opportunity to unite as one global species, one human species. And I'm not talking about global government, folks. I'm talking about global respect for each other and for the planet that we live upon. It's time for modern human beings to embrace our ancestors and to embrace the old ways, to merge the old ways with the modern ways, and to remove ourselves of this system of slavery that's in place that has caused the world to become what it is today. But we need to seize the opportunity, folks. We need to understand the meaning of love and empathy and compassion, but we need to apply it to the world around us. It's no good just sitting there in love and light and expecting the world to change, and it's no good sitting there believing someone is going to save you. The savior you've been looking for is yourself, and all you have to do is remove the fear from your psyche and connect with the people around you. Everything in this society has been designed to divide us, folks, and there's a huge clue with that, because when you clearly understand it and you clearly see how this has been done, then of course the solution is unity. Of course, how could it be anything else but unity? Because everything that this society has done has been designed to break down that unity and ensure that humanity is kept divided. And it's all through fear. The whole thing is through fear. You know, I've got to admit, folks, sometimes it can be incredibly frustrating even doing these radio broadcasts, because I can see so clearly how utterly simple it is to fix all of the problems that we face. And you've got to stop blaming people. You've really got to stop blaming and pointing the finger at others. You've got to stop wanting revenge on anybody. And look, we all have our moments, folks. I mean, a few shows ago, I looked at the London riots and I said, well, these guys that are starting the riots should be locked up. And, you know, you say that metaphorically, folks, but ultimately I don't think anybody should be locked up. I think that the people who are rioting, the people that are committing violence, even the people that are controlling the planet, I think they're doing it because they have a complete misconception of what reality is, and they've been trained to be the way they are by the social structure itself, by the meme that people believe is real, the idea that we have that this is the way society is supposed to be. But as I've said many times before, it's not the way it's supposed to be, folks. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. That's all it is. And the sooner we realize that, the better, because once we do realize that and we realize our connection to each other, we can change things and we can do it overnight. Maybe I am a dreamer, but I can't stop delivering the message to people, and I know the shows must get somewhat repetitive, but I simply can't see the point in deviating from the topic and attempting to find another solution when the actual solution is right there in front of us in plain view, and it is also one that could be so easily implemented if people would simply open their eyes and see the truth of it. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do, folks. And I do it also because it's very important that we get things right this time. It's very important that we do look within ourselves and see what is in there and see the power that we each hold and that we stand in that power. Because this is how we affect positive change. And when I say we need to merge with our ancestors and learn the old ways, I'm not saying we should all start living in caves and tents again, folks. I'm simply saying that we need to embrace a culture of understanding. And we need to do things differently. We need to respect the earth and we need to respect each other. We can still have our computers and our technology and all the stuff that we've got, but we could simply build it to last. We don't need to base our societies on their economic prowess because, as I said earlier, the economy is fake and we are destroying the planet in order to balance mythical digits on a computer screen somewhere that simply don't mean anything and hold no true bearing on anything that is real. The earth is real. The people are real. The problems that we face because of our decision to ignore these facts are also very real. A wise person once said that we can ignore the facts, but we will not be able to ignore the consequences of ignoring the facts. And it's important that we don't ignore the facts any longer. It's important that we get it right this time. It's important that we realize that we are all connected to each other, that we realize our governments are simply the trustees of our societies, and that we hold the key to changing it all. All we have to do is look within ourselves and stand together in unity as one human species. We're getting very close to the end of the show here again, folks. There is an event that is happening in Australia on the 10th of October. It's called 10,000 Amend. If you go to thecrowhouse.com, my website, you will find a banner there. It is the featured website for this week, and it will remain the featured website throughout September. And what this event is an initiative that's been put together by the original people of this country, and they wish to get 10,000 people on the ground at James Price Point, Australia, on the 10th of the 10th this year, in order to make a solid and determined stand against coal seam gas mining. For those of you who have any spiritual understanding, James Price Point, where they are attempting to build the world's biggest gas hub, is the mouth of the Rainbow Serpent. Anybody who knows traditional Australian law or traditional Australian teachings would have heard of the Rainbow Serpent. The tail of the serpent actually starts in Byron Bay here, and the mouth of the serpent is James Price Point. So this is an incredibly sacred area to the original people of this country, and they are desperate to save it. This gas hub will be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, gas hub that's ever been built anywhere in the world, and it will do an incredible amount of damage to the environment over there, and we all need to stand against this, folks. So anybody who can get to James Price Point on the 10th of October, I will see you there. There is a Facebook page, and as I've said, you will be able to access that page via the link that I've placed on the Crow House this week. So please click that and sign up and like the page and get in contact with the people and see if you can get yourself to James Price Point, Australia on the 10th of October, 2011. A few weeks ago, I also mentioned that I'll be having some T-shirts available from the Crow House soon. I'm trying to raise a little bit of fundage so that I can organize maybe a projector and a screen and a small sound system so I can head off around the country and maybe do some workshops around the country. And I was speaking to the person who is organizing the T-shirts last night, and I think that link should be up on the Crow House within the next week. So I'll keep you posted on that one as well, folks. Again, thank you for anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. They are few and far between, so if ever you do feel like making one, it's always very much appreciated, and it's always sorely needed. It's the only thing that does keep the website and the show going. So again, thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. That is it for the day, though, folks. I am out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then, and remember, we do hold the future in our hands and in our hearts, and we can change things any time we choose to realize who and what we are. In La Cache.